This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Wednesday, 18th of August, 2021. And wrapping up yesterday's session, so we have a pretty big range expansion in U.S. equities. The S&P 500 index, there's a reason we mentioned some of the levels we do. And those levels have been the 21-day moving average, which is right around where we found support. It also coincided with one of the flat lines I put in the chart, as you can see on slide two, around that 44.17.18 level. And if we are breaking below there, and actually the NASDAQ 100 closing marginally below its 21-day moving average and keeping that divergent momentum set up in place, unconfirmed, but still there as well. The next level would be something like the 55-day. And actually, if you draw your eyes to that next moving average below the big green 21-day, it is the 55-day. And that, save for one very brief episode below in June, has support. And that was no doubt on the FOMC meeting on June 16th and the following day. That has been a really key level all the way back into to March. I don't know about Peter. We talked about just before going on here what sort of was feeding this sense of nervousness. We have sort of cut the losses about in half. If we look at where futures are trading this morning, you know, there's a wobble in some of the data. So we saw a weak Empire manufacturing data recently. We saw retail sales a bit disappointing, you know, not worth writing home about to me, and given we're still post stimulus check. Industrial production was good. I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of narrative around what caused this kind of weakness.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, you have UK inflation data coming out this morning, 0.3 percentage point, you know, below expectation. I just think that the market is looking at the various macro indicators, and it's specifically China, and seeing that growth is slowing down. The global supply chain disruptions are still a pain for many companies, and Walmart said that yesterday, and will last well into 2022. If you look at the theme baskets overview we have here on slide two, you can see that we only had two theme baskets performing well yesterday, and that was our next gen medicine, and then gaming was pulled higher by C Limited, which I also commented on in my equity update yesterday. So gaming is still doing okay. Although, as you can see on the yesterday, there are still a lot of other gaming companies that they aren't doing well. It's just against expectation and the high valuations, we have seen some compression there in gaming. But I want to put the attention to the next slide, slide three, because I think the biggest story in the equity market right now is what's going on in Chinese technology stocks. You had Cathie Wood explaining on TV the other day that, you know, explaining her decision to pull out of all stocks that smells of Chinese technologies. She sees quite an uncertainty around the innovation landscape, as she calls it, in China and what it means. And she thinks, and I think to some extent she's right, what's happening in China is probably propping up valuations in the US technology industry, because if there is a pie of technology stocks to invest in, and suddenly some part of the pie has great uncertainty and you still want that tech exposure, you have to buy what's left, and that's basically the US. But two key news: there was a draft coming out yesterday in China on how to deal with competition. So basically, China wants to limit monopolies or quasi monopolies, and their strangle on basically a competition for wider society. We know that have been in the pudding for a while, but now it's getting into a draft, and it's impacting Chinese technology stock. You can see on slide three, the Hang Seng Technology Index, we had key support levels, and who knows how deep we can go, how far lower. And we also have Xi Jinping, the leader of China, arguing for more wealth distribution and clamping down on high income. So basically, this is what Steen has been talking about. China is increasingly going from this U.S. Anglo-Saxon centric model to the German model, where you keep a big core base around industrial production, and then you scale up society in terms of technology, but also do more redistribution. And then just finally, before I've talked along already, sorry for that, but China, you can see on that small insert here on slide three that according to OECD, China has a very low tax to GDP level, at least according to these numbers that OECD has available. And then you can see that China can easily do this wealth distribution from these low levels.
Yeah, and then overnight, a couple interesting data points out of Asia. We saw, first of all, the RBA has very much linked in Australia, has linked its policy shifts very much to the inflation outcomes, and especially how wages would drive that. And suspecting that conditions for rate hike won't be in place until 2024, that's been its very strong statement in its most recent communication with the market. And we saw wages out, lower than expected. So this is Australian dollar negative, out 0.4% quarter on quarter, 1.7% year on year, both of those 0.2% below the expectation. So certainly no signs of wage pressures there. And of course, they're dealing with a COVID outbreak, which looks modest by standards elsewhere, but their reaction to it and their low vaccination levels, meaning that it's requiring more comprehensive lockdowns. And then more importantly, for one of the bigger movers recently in FX markets, the Kiwi, we saw two things. The RBNZ, first of all, not hiking. There was a 25 basis point rate hike expected. I think it was fair to say we were 50-50 or maybe lower for that hike to happen last night, given the sudden news of the first community case since February. But they did not hike. However, they provided very hawkish forward guidance. If you look at the two-year yield reaction, it was pretty much, it was all over the place overnight, but pretty much unchanged on the previous day. But you can see on slide four, I put in their official cash rate, and they have a 52-page monetary policy statement, if anyone cares to find that and read through it. But this is their rate projection, getting close to 2% already, let's call it halfway through 2023, quite aggressive. I've argued that the spread there between what Australia is expecting, as I just mentioned, is remarkable. I have a hard time seeing it widening much further. Kiwi, rather unchanged, back and forth overnight. You can see I put in a Kiwi dollar chart here. You can see that 69 and just below area is quite important here. And everything, I think, will depend on the outcome of these COVID cases. There were six new cases found linked to the original one. There could be community spread. Some of the places of interest are things like night spots, so-called, and pubs. So if this suddenly blossoms into the 50 to 100 plus category of cases, I think we could have a different set of outcomes or further pressure on the Kiwi. And then round out the FX space, Ola's stamping his foot on wanting to just talk about commodities here after Peter and I are hogging the bandwidth. Yen crosses, big slide to start the week. As we mentioned yesterday, we've broken some key levels and we're at key levels in other places. So Aussie yen is one. You can see on slide five, we've broken down below this 80 level. To my recollection, the 78.50 is a really big one coming up below that. Obviously, lower rates and another bout of risk off here, if this is what we see, could drive a considerable further yen rally. I think I mentioned sometime back around the time the yen was not even strengthening yet. It actually weakened a bit further before it started rolling over to more strength. This real interest rate story that the Japanese yen has always had credibility through all of this on rather high real rates, given where we've seen negative real rates headed elsewhere, especially in the U.S. And you can see the trend strength. We haven't seen a lot of changes there. But Ola, the commodity space, what is it looking at here as we're talking about, COVID outbreaks, a little bit of reassessment of forward outlook, et cetera?
We're absolutely seeing a reassessment right now, John, and I think that's probably more visible on the next slide. But I'll just start off with the oil market on slide six here, because the market is really, I would say, range bound right now. We've seen the market just making a smaller bounce this morning. We've been down for the past 4 days, but as you can see, I put in the WTI chart, and this mid 60s is a decent area of support, and also one we believe will be defended by OPEC Plus if we should see any additional weakness coming from the current outbreak, which is clouding the demand outlook, at least in the short term. But what could happen today? Well, first and foremost, in John's world, the dollar, keep an eye on that renewed dollar strength we saw overnight.
And I should just mention that I forgot to mention levels. It really was key yesterday, the dollar coming in stronger and your dollar testing towards that 117 area, which has been a really huge one.
Exactly.
Low for the range, essentially the low since the very, very beginning of the year. So that I think does start to affect across the space.
Because it does look like we had that bounce from 117 back up to 118 after Friday's weaker number. But if we do break 117, it looks like it could be almost straight down to 116. So we'll see. But dollar strength could be a headwind here in the short term. But later today, we got the EIA weekly stock report out. API reported a supportive draw yesterday in crude oil and gasoline. I think the market will probably be focusing on Cushing and also gasoline demand, because we are seeing lockdowns and we are seeing less mobility in the US. Let's see if that starts to have an impact on gasoline consumption. That could potentially be a bit of a spanner in the work on the for the prospect for further gains, just at least in the short term. But we see the market as range bound into the autumn months here. Moving on to a market we don't touch base on that often is cotton. And again, China's all over the place when it comes to commodities as well right now, and has been and will be for the foreseeable future. But here we have a story of weather impacting cotton production in China. It's the world's biggest importer, and that has basically had quite a strong positive impact on cotton prices. We've been in an upward trend since the low point last year, but we saw the rally accelerate here after April, and just over the past couple of days here, as you can see on slide 7, we reached the high just below $1 a pound. That's an area that's been rejected now on several occasions since 2014. If we do break, then you can see when the market will probably going to start to see headlines about $2, which is what we saw back in 2011. Speculators have been joining this momentum-driven rally as well. And for that to change, we need to see the market break back down below 88 cents, I say, at this stage. That's where the trend line comes in. So that's the support line, but just in the short term, keep an eye on that top line. And then just again, staying with China, and this is more on the negative front, because a little bit puzzled that we are actually seeing some weakness here in copper. It's happening at a time where we still got supply risks in Chile. There's now another mine that where strike action has been called. It's representing roughly 1% of global supply. And it hasn't really supported the market. We also seen a drop in Chinese stocks to a 6-month low. You can see that in the top right here on slide 8. But at the same time, lower stocks in China has been offset by rising stocks monitored by the exchange on London Metal Exchange. So looking at the chart, you can see we've got a bit of a crosshair here with the trend lines coming in. In an area just around that 420 to 422 area. So if we start to move back below that, then we potentially could see a retracement down to the 200-day moving average. So I think it is overall what we've been talking about here in this podcast, the slowdown we are seeing overall in China, and worries about the short-term outlook for demand driven by the coronavirus.
Yeah, it looks to me on your chart there like you have a head and shoulders situation. That would be a very interesting signal if copper is breaking down significantly rather than just to the 400 level on something.
If that could signal an even quite a big, much deeper correction.
Yeah. All right, Peter, we had some earnings reports in, of course, since yesterday. And the one I just happened to notice yesterday and it saw a pretty big effect in the market, that was Home Depot. Which apparently missed badly, judging from the price action. What else have you got on your radar screen?
Yeah, so today the key focus is on Tencent, which is trading significantly lower from the peak earlier this year. And they basically just in the center of these new competition rules, the clampdown on technology in general. We had Geely Automobile, was reporting in the Chinese trading session, and they actually missed expectations on the bottom line there. So another piece of data point suggesting that the weakness in the Chinese economy. But the key earnings today is Nvidia. I had a preview. You can go read that from Friday's equity update. And as you can see, it's just been a stunning, stunning performance from Nvidia. We all know they don't want to say it. I still don't know why, but Nvidia's earnings and market value is very much driven by the crypto mining. It is so visible when you look at the big decline they had back in late 2018, because that came with plunging profits and lower mining activity in the crypto industry, and then the stock price this year has just been turbocharged. I've put in a small insert as well here on slide 9 next to the share price, where you can see the segmentation that Nvidia provides on revenue. And you can basically see there's interesting things here. So the data center, look at the data center segment. It's just basically exploding. I wonder whether they are beginning to put some of their crypto in the data center. They don't know, because why would data center revenue double in 1 year? I don't think iPhone and Android data usage is up 100%. So it suggests that Nvidia is shuffling around this crypto mining revenue. But also, I want to put the attention to the the automotive segment. Look how it ramped up from 2014 to around 2019, 2020, with the hype of self-driving car technology, and everyone was going to invest in this technology going forward. And now that demand for those graphic cards that use the automotive is really much on the decline in the latest fiscal year. And I still think it's not going to be a huge growth leg. I think there's a lot of obstacles in this technology. We have talked about it before on this podcast, John and I. And
corner cases, 0.1% maybe, or maybe more than that. But that's when precisely when you need the expert driver to do.
To
come in, and they're busy watching a video or sleeping or something. They're ready to take over.
More and more experts are saying that deep learning is probably not the technology that will solve the self-driving technology. And now also Tesla has been on the back foot the past two trading sessions, being now investigated by some federal agencies around a couple of cases where Tesla cars on autopilot, so-called autopilot, have crashed into emergency vehicles and caused other types of both personal and physical damage. So that's an ongoing issue, I think, there for Tesla. But John, let's make this a wrap with the macro calendar.
Yeah, and just briefly to wrap all the data, you mentioned it briefly. I just wanted to underline that UK CPI miss was quite interesting. Seemed like it was so far a rather modest reaction in the market, but the core dropping below 2% for the July to 1.8%. It was expected to 2% for the UK. Some of that could be down to the fact that the UK, the pound has been up around 5 to 6% on a trade weighted basis relative to where it was trading last year. FOMC minutes will be the highlight for today. Coming up at 6 o'clock GMT, I'm not sure what we're going to pull out of this besides there's maybe a robust debate on the signaling they want to provide on the timing of a shift towards tapering, et cetera, and then how much the market reacts to that. I think it's a bit more about animal spirits here, judging from yesterday's session in the U.S. And then we'll look forward to the Norges Bank tomorrow out of Norway. And the bigger signal, potentially, if unlikely we get massive signals from the FOMC minutes, these are a few weeks old after all as well, from the Jackson Hole conference, which could signal whether the September FOMC meeting is in play. And then, of course, the German election, which we'll have a lot more on and quite soon. So for today, that is a wrap, and we will be back tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.